You're listening to Leveling Up, and I'm Arielle, your host. Hello, everyone. How are you doing? Welcome back to Leveling Up. I'm your host, Arielle Miller. This is episode 8, Follow the Pull. Now, I know some of you follow me on social media, so this isn't going to come as a surprise to you, but I shared some pretty big news last week on my Instagram that after 15 years in Los Angeles, my husband and I will be relocating to a different part of California. And this came as a huge shock to everyone because I love LA. I absolutely do. But I wanted to go ahead and talk about my move a little bit here today and what I like to call follow the pull. My entire life, I've always kind of had what I'd like to call a nomad spirit. My mom always called me a gypsy, and that was because ever since I was a little girl, I was just always very bohemian, very universe-centered and oriented and very feelings-based and feelings-governed. And for whatever reason, I grew up in a very, very functional, loving household. My parents are still married to this day, and I've got a younger sister who's my best friend in the entire world. But for whatever reason, I always wanted to leave. I always wanted to leave my parents' house. I always wanted to leave Long Island, which actually, if you've ever been to Long Island, you'd understand why I'd want to leave. I'm just kidding. But in all seriousness, when I was 16, I found a study abroad program in Israel called AMHSI, Alexander Muss High School in Israel. And my junior year, I got to go away when everyone else was just, you know, in a comprehensive school. And I got to live abroad in Israel with 39 other adolescents, 15, 16, 17 year olds, and experience Israel and go to school. And I can't really put my finger on it why I've always just felt this need to go, spread my wings and fly. But for whatever reason, it's just been a part of my spirit. So when I was leaving college, I had wanted to come to Los Angeles. As a matter of fact, I wanted to drop out of college at one point and move to California. And my parents were like, no, that's not happening. So after my undergraduate degree, I ran off to Los Angeles. And I say ran off to Los Angeles because I ran away from my life. My college boyfriend, who I thought was the love of my life, broke up with me. And it devastated me. So I literally worked like 5 jobs that summer so that I could finance my move to LA and come to LA and start a life. And contextualizing this for you, when I say start a life, I really meant that I was starting a life. When I lived in New York, I didn't have a life. I didn't really have lasting, meaningful friendships. I didn't really have relationships with people. So when I left at 22, 23, I wasn't severing anything. And that's why I say I ran away. And I was running away from something and running to create a future for myself. And that's literally what I did, is I took my broken heart and figured I'd mend it while living in a new city where I didn't know anyone, with no friends, no family, and in a new career. And my new career, I was a first-year teacher teaching English in what I mentioned in my blog was, quote, a rough school. Over the years, LA is, it's a part of my essence. It has become the fibers of my soul. And through, I say this and I mean this, like I am an absolute, complete and utter Angeleno. While I worked in LA, I taught in a variety of different schools. I taught in 4 different schools, 2 different middle schools, 2 different high schools, and I've taught everything from grade 7 through 12 English language arts to AP, honors, gifted, developing readers and writers. And I had this like really rich, organic, amazing, incredible career that I was so blessed to have, and I loved it. And about halfway through my teaching career, I wouldn't really say halfway through because I've been teaching about 15 years, but 8 years ago, 9 years ago, I moved into the fitness space. And in this fitness space, I lived this duality of teaching kids and then teaching adults fitness. And it's a challenging duality to maintain, to keep one foot in one world and another foot in another world. But I loved it. The bustle, the hustle, the craziness of it all. I absolutely thrived on go, 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 go. And I took myself from nothing and made something of myself. And I say I took myself from nothing and made something of myself was that when I came into the fitness industry, I didn't have any friends. I knew no one. And now I work for Equinox exclusively. And if you're familiar with Equinox, you understand it is a really fantastic brand and fitness company to work for. But I didn't start there. I started at LA Fitness, and then I went to a few different other clubs, as I've mentioned over the course of other episodes. But I look at my life and I'm so proud of it. I have a job with Los Angeles Unified at the district level. I work for a great gym. I have a great husband. I have a great apartment, and I have it all. I have it all. I have the life I could have only possibly dreamed of. And then there's this point where I ask myself, is there something else? There has to be something else. When I met my husband, well, it'll be 6 years in November, I had told him about this little town about 2 hours away from Los Angeles called Los Olivos. It's in the Central Coast, and for those of you listening, you may be familiar with Solvang, which is a little Danish town, and it's near Solvang, about 10 minutes away. I told him, I said, oh God, I haven't been there in about 5, 6 years, 7 years maybe. And I said, oh, there's something about it. I want to live there. He looks at me, he's like, you want to live there? He's like, it's a small town. I said, small town, it's rural. There's horses and there's goats, and I don't know if there's cows, but whatever there is, it's rural. People wear cowboy hats, and there's grass, and there's mountains, and there's few traffic lights. It is definitely the polar opposite of city. And he kind of gawked and laughed and mocked me a little that this was a dream of mine, and came up to Los Olivos, and my husband said, wow, I get it. I get it. I understand why you want to be here. There is something about this place, something in the air, something in the energy of the earth. There is something about this geographic location that I can't quite put my finger on, but I understand how and why you feel the way that you do. And that kind of marked this beginning of this dream, this collective dream that my husband and I shared, which was, oh, you know, one day kind of dream, we're going to live in Los Olivos. And every time we went up to Los Olivos, we were those tourists, if you will, in the tasting rooms. It's wine country, or at least one of the wine countries here in Southern California, or in California rather. And we'd go up, oh my God, we're going to move here. We would tell everyone, we're going to move here. It's like, you know what, listen, I live in LA. People come visit and they're like, oh my God, I'm so going to move here. And I roll my eyes because I'm like, bitch, you ain't going to move here. Like, talk is cheap. You know, if you're going to do it, put some action behind it. But there really wasn't any action behind our dream. And I think that it was just more so of this fantasy and a hope. And it was really, the way I saw it, it was a retirement dream. It was, we're going to work here, we're going to make money, and then we're going to retire up to Central Coast, to Los Olivos, San Ynez Valley. Throughout this course of the, you know, the almost 6 years we've been together, Greg and I have discussed, you know, maybe we leave Los Angeles. Maybe we go somewhere else. Maybe we go to Denver. Maybe we go to Austin. Maybe we go to, you know, Florida, be closer to my parents. I mean, we talked about it, and even have gone so far as to, Greg has interviewed positions in the restaurant industry outside of Los Angeles. We've even flown to Denver, and this was years ago and nobody knew about it, but we were really dabbling with the idea of, you know, maybe it was time to leave. And I'm going to say this, and you may think that it's ridiculous. The reason why we never left was usually because of me, but it was because of Equinox. That's it. We didn't want to leave Los Angeles because we couldn't live somewhere where there wasn't Equinox. Let that sink in for a second. So you're telling me that I put my life on hold for really my secondary career, which is working in fitness, because I was too fearful of leaving something that I felt like I worked really hard for. And that was establishing myself for one of the most sought after, well-respected fitness brands in possibly the world. And I felt like I can't leave that. I can't walk away from that. Who am I without this behemoth? And I've got to say, it's not even a matter of like, oh my God, I don't know who I am. It's really about what I would like to really point out as attachment. And I kind of, for me at least, I'm going to group attachment and ego in one, although I'm going to link this back to yoga in a moment. But what it really is and was for me is that my attachment to my fitness self and my fitness work was really a lesson in ego, a lesson in letting it go. Now, in yoga, we have 5 yamas, and these yamas are specific behaviors and they're practices that are supposed to directly lead us towards a goal. So the 5th yama, which is non-attachment, and this non-attachment is about non-grasping, generosity, simplicity. In thinking about this incredible attachment that I have to Equinox, I really did a lot of reflection and thinking about, well, how does this translate to this yogic life that I try my best to live? And I want to remind people that yoga is not just about asana, which are the poses. It's not even just only about the pranayama, which is the breath. That is, those two things are facets of yoga. But yoga, the yamas and niyamas, these are ways, tenets to live your life. And that's what yoga is about. That's what being a yogi is the tenets in which you live your life. So when I have stepped back and took a careful look at my life, and I realized that, holy shit, I am literally holding myself back because of my fucking ego. And that's what it is. There's tremendous ego associated with being like, yeah, I work for Equinox. And people raise their eyebrows like, ooh. And then the converse is now that I'm leaving, and I'm going to stay on and still sub classes here and there because I'm only 2 hours away from Los Angeles. But the converse is everyone's like, oh, you're leaving Equinox. And I say, you know, there's life beyond Equinox. And there is. It's a gym. And you know what? For everyone out there who listens and who takes my classes, I love you dearly. But just because I'm not going to be on a mic sweating with you in a main studio or on a bike or on a yoga mat doesn't mean that our relationship needs to end. And I understand you're going to feel sadness, you know, for a couple of classes that I'm not there. But here's the reality, guys. You'll get over it. You'll miss me and I'll miss you. But like anything else in this world is we get over things. And that's the beauty, right? And I believe that's like a Freudian concept, is that we remember the past rosier and more fond than it really may have been. Otherwise, we'd go insane. So we look back on the past with a fondness, and nobody can take those memories and the joy you feel in your heart away from you, but we move on. Life goes on. I couldn't quite quantify was that something has been calling to me. So when I talk about this non-attachment, there's been this like this nag at my heart and at my soul that's been a question of like, what else is there? So when I was 22, 23, I followed that pull to Los Angeles. After never having visited the city, I, for whatever reason, it said, you need to be here. And I listened to that and I honored that voice, and I've came and I've had the most incredible 15 years of my life. I've thrived as an educator. I was teacher of the year. I was recently promoted. I've done incredible things in education, gotten kids to college that were first generation graduates of high school, and then they went to college, and they're changing their communities. They're changing the narrative that was previously written in their culture, in their home, in their neighborhoods. Like, I couldn't have asked for a better footprint in this world. But when you can't shake this like thing that's underlying, that is telling you that there must be something else, you have to honor that. So in November, I came home from a trip with Greg, and we were in Los Olivos, and my holistic nutritionist said, I want you to make a vision board. And for those of you who are unfamiliar, a vision board is something that is a collage with minimal words, if any words really, and it's just images of things that you hope to manifest. And anything goes. Anything that speaks to your heart, anything that you are wanting to achieve in your world, in your life, cut it out of a magazine and put it on your vision board. So I created my vision board. And my vision board was pictures of rolling hills, wine, horses, a woman with a surfboard, a few fitness type clothes, and then some Mexican food, and naturally avocados and chocolate, because what is life without avocados? What is life without chocolate? And I mean, really, chocolate, avocados, and wine. I don't know about you, but pretty healthy, balanced diet right there. So my vision board hung or was propped up rather, I wouldn't say it was hung, it was propped up on our dry bar in our house for a couple of weeks, and I looked at it, and then I finally relocated it to my refrigerator, to my closet where I taped it up, and I would see it every day. And it's a subconscious thing. You see this vision board, and the idea is you send this messaging out to the universe. On a subconscious level, you're also working towards these manifestations, and that eventually you achieve them. And I really didn't think about this vision board until things had shifted, and I had said to my holistic nutritionist, oh, by the way, Greg and I are moving. And she goes, oh, I just got chills. And I said, why? I said, I know. I know. You know, we're leaving. She's like, no, your vision board. And I was like, holy shit. You're right. My vision board. And I went home and I looked at it and was like, oh my God, this is happening. Like, I made this happen. Oh my God, we are leaving and I'm going to live this life that I created for myself. Like, I couldn't even believe that this was happening. It was remarkable. So when we talk about the five yamas and the fifth yama, which is this non-attachment, which is non-grasping, generosity, and simplicity, this life that I'm looking to lead is this life of simplicity. No more running around, no more teaching 8,000 fitness classes for 8,000 fitness entities, in addition to teaching my kids, grading papers, dealing with parents, sending emails, writing my blog, recording and editing this podcast. Like, for God's sake, when do I live is the question. I am living, but on what kind of level am I living? And that's the question I want you to think about, is like, what kind of quality to your life are you living? Like, what is the quality of the life that you currently exist in? And are you happy with that quality of life? And if not, well, then how are you changing it? Bigger picture is, if we're so busy and we're so hurried and there's so much distraction and there's so much noise, are we able to listen to the whispers of the universe? Are you able to observe and take in the signs of the universe? Or have we just gotten so out of touch with ourselves because we're busy? And I say busy. How often do we just talk to each other and say, oh my God, we need to get together, but oh my God, I'm so busy. I'll be in touch. Love you, mean it. Mwah. And that's it. Do you ever get in touch? Like, we sit there and talk about how we need to get together, but we're oh so busy, but nobody ever wants to carve that time out for each other. So I'm thinking about my life and it's like, do I want to live that life? Like, is that living purposefully, being too busy to lead my life the way that I want to lead it? Friends, the universe is speaking to us. And sometimes the noise and the clamor and the chatter is just too loud. It's too distracting that it's drowning out our truth. So how can you live your truth if you're too distracted to know what that truth is or to honor it? I wonder, and I say this out loud because this move is not easy. And I don't want anyone to think that I stand here as this pillar of strength, because right before I recorded this episode, I had like a hysterical breakdown to my husband saying like, and I'm going to get emotional about it now, is like, are we making a mistake? Are we making a colossal mistake by doing this? And you can tell I'm emotional again, because I want you to hear it and I want you to know that I'm a human and I feel things, and it's okay to be scared, and it's okay to worry if you're making the right decision. It's okay to doubt yourself, but what it is not okay is to allow fear to govern your life. And when I say to not allow fear govern your life, I couldn't think of anything more tragic than in 20 years from now, looking over at my husband and saying like, oh my God, Greg, remember when we could have tried to start anew and hit the reset button on our life, but we did it because we were too scared. That is a tragedy. So what would you do if you couldn't fail? And I talked about this in my blog, because when I was 22, 23, and I moved to Los Angeles, I didn't even have a job, by the way. I thought I did, but I didn't. I was hired and processed by LAUSD, but I didn't actually have a job. I didn't even have a place to live. I was living out of a hotel. My car wasn't here. It was being shipped out by my parents once I found a place to live. So I had no failure mechanism. I didn't think that I could fail. It wasn't even an option. I didn't know what it meant to fail. It was, yeah, moving to Los Angeles. I got a job. You know, and I said this in my first episode, I guess ignorance truly is bliss, but we get so caught up in what if we fail? And you know what? And this is something Greg and I continue to remind ourselves as we talk ourselves through this process. What if we go to Santa Ynez Valley and we don't like it? What happens? Absolutely nothing. We've lost a year in LA. I still keep my employment with LAUSD, so we don't live in this awesome apartment that we currently live in. It's, hello, non-attachment, like I told you. It's just stuff. It's just a house. And love isn't a thing. It's intangible. Family is where your husband is, where your wife is, where your children are, where your grandparents are, where your parents live. Like that, that is home. Home isn't a place or a thing. You can't touch home. Home is just a skeleton that may house the love and the family that lives there, but home is my family. It's my husband and it's my 6-pound adorable cat. So if you couldn't fail, what would you do? It's a big thought, because how often do we hold ourselves back because we're so terrified of failing? We're worried about what other people are going to think. And I could care less what anyone thinks about me moving. Some people have said to me, oh my God, you know, you're walking away from your career. And I don't look at it that way. I'm not walking away from anything so much as I'm walking towards something. I am following the pull of my heart, and it doesn't get any more purposeful than that. What would you do if you had all the courage you needed? How would your life be different if you were, I don't even know, some sort of superhero, some sort of Popeye, if you will, that had all the spinach fuel in the world and you could face anything and everything? What would you do that perhaps you're not doing because you don't feel that you're courageous enough? What dreams do you have? Or what have you wished for, but you've never put into writing or you've never shared with anyone else? And I think that's a really important point to think of, is we dream silently all too often. And it's okay to dream individually, and it's okay to dream quietly. But what happens to those dreams if they're just a thought in your head that never becomes a manifestation? Then it's not a dream, it's just a wish and it's a hope. And the way that I look at the life that I'm choosing to live is that I don't want to live a life of wondering, hoping, and wishing. I want to lead a life of doing. I consider myself a woman of action. And what kind of woman of action would I be if, when faced with an opportunity to potentially catapult myself into something magical and beautiful, I run away from it because I'm afraid and because I don't think I have the courage? And that's it. Is people are only brave because they're scared. And I am so scared about this next chapter of my life. But I recognize that I need to follow the pull. I need to listen to the signs of the universe. And by following this pull, what that really means is I am consciously relinquishing ego. I'm relinquishing attachment. I am giving myself permission. I am choosing to liberate myself. And that doesn't mean that I'm not scared. But what that means is I am choosing to take an opportunity, to take a chance on myself. Because with great risk comes great return. So I implore you, my friend, to clean out the clutter of your life so that you can listen to the whispers of the universe, because they're there. As faint as they may be or as they seem, they are there. They're in the background and the universe is talking to you. And are you too distracted, too busy to listen? Are you too busy doing the things that don't matter to prevent you from really hearing your truth so that you can live your truth? I want to leave you with a final thought. I would say that when I was about 30 years old, I had said to my mom and I said to my family, I'm going to leave education. I'm going to work full-time in fitness. And my family was up in arms and completely distraught by my choice to quote, walk away. And I'm going to use that term again, to walk away from everything I have built. And as a big fungal middle finger to my mom, I got a tattoo on the inside of my left bicep that says, I hope you live a life you're proud of. And it's by F. Scott Fitzgerald. And F. Scott Fitzgerald is one of my favorite authors. And I'm an English teacher. So, you know, I want to leave you with a quote. For what it's worth, it's never too late, or in my case, too early, to be whoever you want to be. There's no time limit. Start whenever you want. You can change or stay the same. There are no rules to this thing. We can make the best or the worst of it. I hope you make the best of it. I hope you see things that startle you. I hope you feel things you never felt before. I hope you meet people who have a different point of view. I hope you live a life you're proud of. And if you're not, I hope you have the courage to start all over again. Thank you so much for listening to Follow the Pull, Episode 8. It's been really emotional for me, so I appreciate you being part of my journey. I hope that it inspires you to go ahead and take the leap and follow the pull in your life. And remember that if you like the work that we do here on Leveling Up with Ariel Miller, please do not forget to share, like, subscribe, leave us a review. Us, it's just me, by the way. Leave me a review. And thank you so much for all that you do. I love you. Mean it. Mwah!